Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Speaking about load shedding, which is a euphemism for rolling blackouts, Roger Lilly is an energy analyst. We need to understand what on earth is going on at Eskom. Good morning. Welcome back. How are you doing?
Good morning to you, and thank you for inviting me back to your show, Howard. So nice to chat to you again.
It is great to chat to you. This week that was, well, load shedding has now been suspended. I've given advice to our listeners not to pack away their inverters and not to mothball their generators at this point. And your laugh tells me that you kind of agree with that.
Actually, Howard, now's the time to service your generator.
Ah, that's a good point.
Now it's been suspended, service it. Let's not be an Eskom ourselves and fail on maintenance.
Okay, that is very, very good advice. Don't be an Eskom. I like it. That's our motto now. Go and get your generator serviced. It is a good time to do that. But what is the story? Why has it now suddenly gone away?
It's gone away because they've managed to recover 2,000 megawatts of generating capacity, and they've managed to pump the water in the energy storage units in the Drakensberg and elsewhere, fill those dams up. They've managed to replenish all the diesel in the diesel tanks for the peaking plant. So it means that they have developed more generating capacity. However, we must be very cautious, because the generating capacity that Eskom has now added onto the system was meant for peaking purposes only. So you're supposed to use it first thing in the morning for 2 hours, and again in the evening for 2 hours. Eskom have this history of running at 24/7.
Oh, okay. And that's just obviously not sustainable.
No, it's not sustainable financially, if nothing else. I mean, you know the price of diesel, it's crazy.
It's just phenomenal. But is there any, you know, we keep looking at these immediate, it's not even short term, it's today term issues. Do we have enough power today? What's happening? There's been a breakdown. Now there's rolling blackouts. Now there isn't. Is there any plan to claw our way out of this? And what is the impact of the Kelvin power station in Johannesburg?
Okay, so the situation with the Kelvin power station is that Eskom count Kelvin Power Station, although it is owned by the city of Johannesburg, actually it's not even owned by the city of Johannesburg, it's owned by private investors, but the electricity is allocated to the city of Johannesburg. And so what Eskom does is when it predicts how much energy it's going to need, it includes this generation capacity in its bigger figure, together with other independent generation. So the city of Joburg was saying, no, this is additional. And Eskom was saying, no, that's included in the number that we already have. So there was a little bit of toing and froing around that. I think that's now cleared, and everybody seems to understand that the Kelvin power station is really part of the bigger number that Eskom claims to have.
So they just include that.
They just include it, yeah. But there was obviously some confusion there. Now, I think the reality is, and I must say that DeRater made a very interesting point yesterday morning when he spoke in a media briefing. He said that load shedding actually is in our own hands. We can stop load shedding, you and I. And this is how he framed it. He said there are approximately 14 million households in South Africa. And if every household were to switch off just one unnecessary lamp at night, that would save 835 megawatts of power. So that's almost stage one load shedding. If everybody replaced our halogen downlights, which were very popular at one time, but they're now available as LEDs, and they're easy enough to replace. Evening demand could be reduced by almost another 800 megawatts.
So interesting.
Yeah. And it, with swimming pool pumps, if we reduce the use of our swimming pool pumps, we could save another 500 megawatts. And so he went on. And if you adjust your geyser temperature down a little bit, especially now in the warmer weather, we can do that. We can save another 700 megawatts. And if you add it all up, we've got almost 3,000 megawatts of saving that you and I, as domestic users, not industrial users, domestic users, in our households, the 14 million homes, we could save enough electricity to prevent stage three load shedding, which is 3,000 megawatts. And that's really an important message that needs to be published again and again. I mean, more and more people need to understand that we have what I like to phrase a drought of electricity. When we had water shortages and drought, we all knew that we had to use water sparingly. Well, we have to do the same with electricity. And you may remember some years ago, we had a different CEO in the chair at Eskom, and he coined the phrase, live lightly. And I know it's a bit of a pun, considering it's electricity, but all the same, we do need to do that. We all need to consider, do I really have to have all these outside lights on all night? Do I have to have a light on in every room when I'm not in that room, etc.? Yeah. So I think that, you know, there are ways in which we can contribute to reducing the load to prevent future load shedding.
A few people asking, what about office buildings at night? What about government buildings at night? Surely absolutely. He should be setting that example.
Yes, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. And I think as concerned citizens, we should be putting the pressure on those chief executives in private buildings, private office buildings. I know, however, that often cleaning crews go in after hours to vacuum and clean the offices and so on, so that they're not there disturbing people during working hours. But it's not all night.
Right. Okay. So
there's also been the argument about security and so on. I was told many years ago that when they built the Colton Center in Johannesburg, you remember that 50-story office building in the middle of Joburg? When they built that, apparently it was cheaper for them to leave the light switches off and wire the lights permanently to the distribution boards because electricity was so cheap at the time.
Interesting. Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Unbelievable. Absolutely, absolutely incredible. Just before we let you go, just give us those tips again.
Certainly. Okay, so if we can reduce the number of lights that we have on in the house in the evening by one light or more, if we can replace our halogen downlighters, that usually in the ceiling, with the LED equivalent, which are available in hardware stores, if we can reduce the number of hours per week that our pool pumps run, and if we can reduce our geyser temperature down from, it's usually around 70, 75 degrees, if we can adjust that down to, say, 60 degrees, we will save almost 3,000 megawatts of electricity. That will save us personally money in our pocket, and it will help Eskom by relieving some of the load and reducing the risk of load shedding.
Absolutely vital information. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Are you prepared to do that? And how many of those have you already done? Roger Lilly, energy analyst, thank you for joining us, talking about some of the complex challenges that Eskom is facing. It is 841. I'm Howard Feldman. A very, very good morning.